I was asked this morning to do the book of Jonah. And I obliged, not with enthusiasm, but I said, yes, I'll do it. And I pray that the Lord will get us through the book of Jonah this morning. And from the book of Jonah, we find a message for us today. Let me start by dispelling the notion that the book of Jonah is just a dramatic book with spiritual implication, and there is nothing historical about it. See, I believe the historical content in the book of Jonah is real, and every word in it is true. See, the book of Jonah started with the words, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah." And we see these very words in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, in Isaiah, every time referring directly to an individual with a direct message coming from the Lord. So why would the Bible tell us that the word of the Lord came to Jonah if it was not a message from God himself? If it was just a frictional story, why would the word of the Lord came to Jonah about some frictional story that he had to write? If we look in the book of Nahum, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. If we look in the book of Micah, the word of the Lord came to Micah. So we see it throughout scripture. Secondly, we see Jonah mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25 in conjunction with the reign of King Jeroboam II, whose reign was recorded in the book of Kings. So why would, if it's a fictional story, would it be in conjunction with a king who actually reigned? And thirdly, we see that Jesus himself mentioned the prophet Jonah in the book of Matthew and the story of Jonah being in the belly of a fish. So I believe these prove that the book of Jonah is not just historical, but it is true, and the record shows that. When we read through the book of Jonah, we see it's kind of different from the rest of the prophets, especially the minor prophets. When we read Jonah, or we read the rest of the minor prophet, we see these words, "And the words came to them, and they did this. And the words came to them, and they did that." They made pronouncements based on what the Lord said to them. But in the book of Jonah, it's different. When it comes to Jonah, we are introduced not so much to pronouncements, but to a narrative that unfolds historical with a historical story that is captivating. If you ask almost anybody, they will tell you, "Oh, I know about the man and the whale," or, "I know about the man and the fish." It's a captivating story filled with drama, but yet for all true. As I said, there's not so much pronouncements, but it is a narrative that develops. And you can actually understand why. Because Jonah came in a time just after Elisha, and you will see it's the same thing with them. The stories of miracles and the everyday life. So you could understand why the book of Jonah is written this way. It is easy to make Jonah the subject matter of the book. And I'm telling you this because the first time I read it, all I saw was Jonah. But then when I got to it the second time and the third time, I realized I saw less of Jonah and I saw more of the Lord. I saw his grace really started to shine through. His omnipotence, his omnipresence, his sovereignty. You saw all these in the book of Jonah. His love, his heart for sinners. It's a fascinating book that if you can miss it, if you make Jonah the story of the book or the main subject of the book. But the main subject of the book of Jonah is the Lord and his grace and his mercy and how that story is told through Jonah. So that is what one of the take I want us to have this morning. So let us venture into the book of Jonah and we can see a lesson that has, what lesson it has for you and me this morning, because there is a lesson that you and I can draw from the book of Jonah. So hold on to your seats for a little bit. It might get a little bit boisterous in here this morning. If I were to give you a quick overview of the book of Jonah, I'll give you chapter 1, a prophet's rebellion. Chapter 2, a prophet's prayer and repentance. Chapter 3, a prophet preaches. And chapter 4, a prophet is still angry. And that's unfortunate. And so we see Jonah, the man. In 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, tells us that Jonah was a servant of the Lord. That's a man, Jonah. He was called, he was a servant of the Lord. I can ask this morning, who is sitting in the pews that can say, I am a servant of the Lord? If you're saved by his grace, you get the title also of being a servant of the Lord. He was from Gath Hepher. Joshua chapter 19 and verse 13 tells us that Gath Hepher was part of the territory of the tribe of Zebulun. That proves Jonah Hebrew heritage. And we saw that in scripture, we tell them that he was a Hebrew. The history of the book was in a time of blessing and stability. Although Jeroboam did not repent from all his sin, he was still sinful, but we saw it was not a time of war. And why I say that Jeroboam was, you know, he was fixing the borders. He was reclaiming territories. It was a relatively peaceful time where he was fixing stuff. So the children of Israel was not at war at the time, written around 793 to 752 BC. That was around the time of King Jeroboam's reign. Then we see in Jonah chapter 1, as I said before, God's call was unmistakable. He said, go to Nineveh. So we have a servant chosen, and he is given an assignment. Then we see in the same chapter 1, Jonah flee in the opposite direction to where the Lord was sending him. And then came a storm. Jonah was selected by Lot. Jonah confesses sin. Jonah's solution, the crew should throw him overboard. That's what basically we will see in chapter 1. In chapter 2, we have Jonah's deliverance. Jonah's fish, a mark of God's grace. And then we see the miraculous nature of the story played out in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 to 42. Then we have Jonah's prayer, a thanksgiving psalm. That's what Jonah's prayer was if you read the prayer. And then you have Jonah's release, a prophet is now prepared for God's service. So he ran, but he found himself back in the same place, and now he's prepared to answer that call that God gave to him. In chapter 3, we saw the proclamation, Jonah's obedience, a long trip, a three-day circuit, Nineveh repent. There we had a royal proclamation. And then we see God's mercy, God spare the city of Nineveh. And as I said earlier in chapter 4, we see Jonah's anger. Jonah is displeased with God's mercy. He said, I knew you might do this. So here we have Jonah's misguided concern for himself. We saw also in chapter 4, Jonah's misguided view on election. In chapter 4, we have God's gentle questions, Jonah's angry response, and then we have God's piercing questions. And then all of a sudden, the book ends. Have us wanting a part 2. Have you ever gone to a movie and it ends and you was like, I can't wait for the part 2? That's how the book of Jonah ended. Can I open-ended like, what next? Still waiting for that part 2 in the book of Jonah. So let's go to the Bible this morning. But before we do that, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be able to go into your holy word. We commit this time before you this morning. We pray as we look into Jonah's story, Heavenly Father, that he will speak to us and we find a lesson in it for us today. Bless our hearts, Heavenly Father, as we look into your holy scripture. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, he said, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh. We said that Jonah is a servant of the Lord, and here is his assignment. Arise and go to Nineveh. This is a distinct command, a directive, so to speak. You, my servant, I have chosen you, and this is your assignment. This wasn't like a passive voice. Hey, Jonah, you think you can go to Nineveh? It wasn't that if you happen to be passing close by, I need you to do this. It was that not what it was. It was, Jonah, wherever you are right now, I need you to get up and I need you to go to Nineveh. How many of us in here have gotten an assignment from the Lord? I need you to arise and do this. But I can see the wheels that turn in Jonah's head. Nineveh? Did he just say I should go to Nineveh? Now, if we were to look at Nineveh and what that was, then I can understand why Jonah would be thinking that way. Nineveh was a major city of whom? The Assyrian Empire. Located in the northern hemisphere of Mesopotamia, on the bank of the Tigris River, about 220 miles north of modern Baghdad today. The Assyrians, they were a longtime enemy of the children of Israel. So you could understand why Jonah would ask, with wondering, Nineveh, why would I want to go to preach to Nineveh? For the Ninevites, they were wicked. They were violent people, and they showed no mercy to the enemy. First of all, they will torture, kill, and display your corpse so that everybody can see. And then later, they will draw pictures to depict their atrocities. So you can understand why Jonah feel that these people needed to be judged. Why should I want to go to Nineveh? How does that benefit me or my people? How does that benefit me or my people that I will go to preach to these people? You know, in MRT, which is military resiliency, we use a word called WIFRM. What's in it for me? And that is a kind of attitude that the world uses these days. If there is nothing in it for me, why should I be doing it? And what was in it for Jonah? Absolutely nothing. But what's in it for me? That seems to be an attitude, even in the churches today. How does this benefit me? Can I profit off of this ministry? Oh no, this is your assignment. I need you to speak to these people. But what's in it for me? But we have to go back to the fact that if you're a servant of the Lord, it is not about you, but it's about the assignment that he wants you to do. So Jonah decided, hey, there is no benefit for me from this assignment. So instead of going to where the Lord wanted him to go, the Bible tells us he went, decided to go to Tarshish. Now, let me ask the question this morning. Do any of us have a Ninevite in our life this morning? Someone to whom God wants us to witness and to share his love, and we refuse him. Is there anyone who has done you wrong and you prefer to see them judged instead of being forgiven? You see, Jonah was not thinking about what God wanted. In other words, otherwise, he would have gone to Nineveh. But instead, the Bible tells us what he rebelled. The Bible tells us that he decided to go, as I said before, to Tarshish. Jonah was from Gath Hepher, which was approximately 500 miles from Nineveh. On the other hand, Tarshish was about 250 miles in the opposite direction. So not only, thank you, brother, not only did Jonah want to rebel, he wanted to go as far away as he possibly could. The Bible tells us that he wanted to go away from the presence of the Lord. But what's very interesting here is that he flee from the presence of the Lord. Then we see a pattern start developing. In verse 3, he start going down. He went down to Joppa. And then he was going down to Tarshish. And then the Bible tells he went down to the lowest part of the ship. And this going down, we see he's trying to create distance from the Lord. How many of us this morning, we are trying to create distance from the Lord? And what will cause the servant of the Lord to want to create distance? Sin. You see, rebellion is a sin. Jonah disobeyed God. Think about the story of the prodigal son. He took his inheritance from the father. And what did he do? He went away from his presence into a far country. He wanted to get away from the presence of his father, where he could be corrected, where he could be mentored. You know, we might not think disobedience, our disobedience is as blatant as Jonah's. But if we understand how sin affects our fellowship with God, and we fully grasp that concept, maybe a little white lie would not be as little anymore. Because sin affects that relationship that you and I have with the Father. And this is why we ought to try as best we could with the strength of the Holy Spirit to obey the Lord's word and his guidance. So we see that Jonah decided, hey, I'm going away. I'm not doing what the Lord wants me to do. And because of his disobedience, we understand that with disobedience also comes consequences. Clearly, Jonah was no theological fool. He was a prophet of the Lord. And he had to know that, first of all, he couldn't run actually from the presence of the Lord. He ought to know that God is omnipresent. Wherever he goes, he will be there. So it's not so much he was running from the presence of the Lord, but he was running away from the will of the Lord, not wanting to do what God wants him to do. You know, so sometimes we can stand here, but we are not operating in the will of the Lord. As believers, if we rebel against God and life starts getting a little bit dicey, circumstances start changing for the worse, there just might be a Father God storm with our name on it. That storm that hit that ship had Jonah's name on it. We hear the world talk about Mother Nature all the time. But sometimes when your storm comes, you might need to look up and say, oh, Father God. That is a storm that came into your life to bring a correction, to change your path. And we see this with Jonah. And we must understand that with disobedience, there is risk. And sometimes not only to the person disobeying, but also to the people around them. But sometimes it is hard to forgive, and you prefer to run than to forgive. Let me give you a story. When I was a young man, I had a really, really good friend. And we hang out together. We did everything together, you know. On weekends, you know, we partied, we drank. That was my boy. And then he did something. He broke that bro code. Boy, and I tell you, that love for that young man turned into hatred so fast. And for years, I despised him. Then I got saved. And I still despised him. Jonah was a prophet, and he still despised the enemy of Israel and his enemy. And I remember one time I was walking, and the young man, and we came face to face, and he was like, hi, man. And the look I gave to him is like, you don't ever speak to me again. What you did to me, that hurt ran deep. And sometimes it's even harder when you know that person and you're close to that person and they hurt you to forgive that person. But the Bible tells us that we need to forgive. And I remember one time I was living in Maryland at the time, and I had to go to New York to speak. And as I walked in, who I saw? I saw that young man sitting on a table, and he was responsible, just as how Brother Jorge doing, for all the projections, and I realized he's part of that assembly. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you cannot continue to harbor that hatred and that anger towards that young man. And I remember going to him and I said to him, you know what, man? I forgive you for what you did. And I'm sorry for all that anger and all that animosity I had for you over the years. And he turned to me and he said, you know what? I'm sorry too. I know what I did was wrong. But you see, that forgiveness, it wasn't so much for the forgivee, but it was for the forgiver. I felt like a burden was lifted off of me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes you're holding something against somebody. But the reason why we ought to forgive is because it does more for the forgiver than it does for the forgivee. It releases you from a burden that you should not be carrying. And that's why our Lord Jesus said to forgive, not just 7 times 7, but 70 times 7, an unlimited amount of time you forgive because of what it does for you as the individual. You know, verse 5 in the book of Jonah tells us, Jonah went and he fell asleep in the bottom of the ship. And there was a storm. So how is it that Jonah is sleeping? Well, maybe he was tired. He took that long journey to get to that ship. Or maybe he just thought, hey, mission accomplished. I can rest now. I escaped the will of the Lord. Can it be true that you and I have gone so far from the presence of the Lord that even the storm cannot get us back? That we fell asleep because we are away from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord is using that storm. Hey, come on back. But hey, I have wandered far away from God. I can sleep through the storm. Even at the Lord knocking at my heart door, I can sleep through it. Because why? I have gone away from his presence. I refuse to obey that prick. That conscience that's speaking to me, I stop listening to it. Until that knock gets a little bit less and less. Our brother talk about the siren when it's coming to you. When you're just doing it, it hits you in your face. But then you go past it. And then you start hearing the word of the Lord less and less and less. So Jonah was able to sleep through the storm that had his name on it. He was away from the will of the Lord. But the Bible tells us, it doesn't matter how far you go, he can reach you. We have a dear brother. And, you know, he came to the United States to study. And he got caught up with the life here, with the partying and all that stuff. And when he came back to Grenada, he continued to do the same thing. And that was a dear brother in the assembly. And for quite a few years, he stayed out. He got new friends. He partied. He drank. He led his family away from the church too, because he was the man of the house and they started living his lifestyle. And then he said he got sick. And the friends he thought he had, they didn't want to be around him anymore because he got really sick. He said, but the only people that was coming and look for him was the ones from the assembly who knew him. And they started to pray with him. And he said he started to realize that it was God speaking to him. And he said one night when he went to speak, the Holy Spirit said to him, you can choose life or you can choose death. It's your choice tonight. And he was on the bed very sick. And he said, he cried out to the Lord, I choose life. And that young man was restored. And he's one of the young stalwarts in the assembly right now speaking the word of the Lord. But he always gave the testimony that he had wandered far away from God. And there was a storm with his name on it. So here we have the Lord bring that storm. It was the Lord that bring the storm, and they woke up Jonah and they asked him if he read through it. What's causing this? And then we have Jonah's confession. He said, it's my fault. I am the reason that you guys are going through this. You can cast me overboard. But we see the heart of these men. They did not want to kill Jonah. The Bible tells us that they tried to row even harder to get back to shore, but it wasn't working. But then the Bible tells us that they cried to the Lord that they did not want the blood of Jonah to be on their head. But they knew the right thing to do. This storm was Jonah's storm. It wasn't theirs. So the Bible tells us they even make a sacrifice to say that, Lord, we're going to do this. We really didn't want to do it. But hey, it is either him or us. What the Bible tells us, they throw Jonah into the sea. And then it got calm for the man that was there. Brothers and sisters, as I said, sin don't just affect you. It can affect those around you. So we have to keep that in mind, that we might think we were hiding it from everybody else, but God knows it. And when that storm comes, we might put others at risk unless we recognize, hey, it's my fault. Lord, do with me as you must. So the Bible tells us that when they threw Jonah overboard, here comes this big fish. And some might say, well, it was a predator that wanted to eat Jonah, but the Bible tells us God prepared the fish. So whatever it is, we know it was God that sent that fish so that Jonah can be swallowed. And that in his great despair, that is when he cried out to the Lord. You know, sometimes we wait until we are almost a dead man, when we get to the lowest of the low, and then we cried out. But I don't care how low you are this morning, God still hears. And we can cry out to the Lord when things are not so bad. We can cry out to the Lord when things are really bad. But I say, let's cry out to the Lord when things are also good. Let's tell him to keep blessing us for your favor, Lord. Recognize that it's his favor that is on your life. So when things are not going so good, you can reach out to him and say, Lord, can you bring me back to where I used to be? I know your favor. So Jonah cried out from the belly of the fish. And the Bible tells us the Lord heard him and he spoke to the fish and the fish vomited Jonah. And then what we see? Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah again. Oh, you thought you missed the assignment? Guess what? You right back to where you started. But guess what happened this time? Jonah's heart was ready for the assignment. You know, sometimes we run away from the assignment and we might think, well, okay, we escape. But you understand, the Ninevites had a 40-day window. And anytime God presents a window, it is a time for repentance and for his mercy to shine through. So that's why the Lord could have destroyed the Ninevites immediately, but he gave them a window, and Jonah had to operate within that window, and he tried to run away. What have we been running away from? And have we gone so far that the window of our assignment is closing? Then on whose head would that be? Maybe it's your neighbor or a good friend, as I said, that has done you wrong. And there is a window for repentance and for mercy and to spread the gospel of God to that person. But because we are broken people and we are hurting, we ignore the mercy that God had upon you and I, and we don't extend that same mercy to that person. If God's grace can touch you and me, God's grace can touch anybody. And it took Jonah going into the belly of a whale to understand what his assignment was. And the Bible said he went to Nineveh and he preached. And the entire city repented. As a matter of fact, there was a royal proclamation that everybody ought to serve the Lord God. You know, I don't need there to be a royal proclamation for my ministry. But if there is one that who is hurting and who needs to hear the gospel, just an opportunity presenting itself, as our brother said this morning, through a telescope looking at some planets. An opportunity presented itself, and we ought to be ready to jump to the opportunity. You see, the Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intention of the heart. The power of God can reach the vilest sinner. It can reach to the lowest valley. It can reach to the highest mountain. There is nothing, no sin too great, no person who is too bad that the Holy Spirit cannot convict their heart. But the Lord needs a servant. Are we willing to stand here this morning and say, I will be that servant? Or are we going to sit in our pews, be comfortable and say, Lord, what's in it for me? It's time that we drop that attitude of believers and take on that mantle of a servant and serve wherever the master wants us to go. Do you have a journey to go to Nineveh this morning? You see, brothers and sisters, listen to this. The Lord can work the easy way, or the Lord can work the hard way. You choose which way he's going to work through you, because he is sovereign and his will must be done. And if you have been chosen for that assignment, oh man, I'm telling you, you're going to complete that assignment. Whether you do it the easy way or you do it the hard way. So how does the book of Jonah apply to you and I this morning? Remember, you did not go there and say, I will do. You were chosen. You were elected. We are chosen vessels. So that's the first thing we have to realize this morning. Jonah was a servant, so are you and I. The second thing, God offers mercy to everybody. It's not for you and I to decide who should receive God's mercy and he should and who shouldn't. He chooses and we obey. So it doesn't matter what that person has done to you, as how deep it runs, if God say, hey, this is the assignment, then let us obey. And then we can see how God works in and through us, because that is his desire, to walk in and through his servants. The songwriter said, we've been running for a long, long time. It's time for us to stop running and submit ourselves to the will of God and see what he can do through us. Oh, the whole of Nineveh was saved. And we see that Jonah was still angry, but God's will was done. You know, we might not always agree with how God does it, but who are we to question what he does? And if I'm to stand here this morning and say I'm a servant of the God, of the Lord, then a servant serves. And I'm not to question the master, because he is sovereign, he knows it all, and he sees it all. So may God bless our hearts this morning. As we see a Jonah in us, not a rebellious Jonah, but a repented servant who carry out the will of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning that we can draw from the story of Jonah. realizing that there are times we have traveled far away. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for the storms that comes into our lives that brings us back, that open our eyes and where we can look to heaven and pray a prayer of repentance. Oh, Heavenly Father, watch your mercy, that even when we run, we can be forgiven and be used. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will use each and every one of us here this morning in whatever way you see fit, that we may carry out your will and your will alone. Bless our hearts as we depart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.